When I graduated from college, I decided to celebrate the occasion by getting a tattoo. I guess that having a diploma to hang on the wall and student loan payments that I am still paying off weren't quite enough of a permanent reminder of what I had accomplished. I had been thinking about getting a tattoo for a long time, and several times a week for several months in a row, I would draw the tattoo that I wanted on my skin with a permanent marker just to make sure that I actually wanted it. And so finally, I made an appointment. I walked into the tattoo parlor and walked out with the long-anticipated mark on my wrist. A few years later, when I graduated from seminary, I said, let's do it again, and celebrated in the same way. This time, two friends, who some of you may know, Ben Brown and Chris Wondery, also joined me in marking this occasion by getting tattoos of their own. So in addition to having a Jesus fish or an ichthus on my wrist, I also have the words from Isaiah 6:8, here I am, send me, on my arm. These permanent reminders aren't always visible to myself or to other people, but I know that they are there. When I catch a glimpse of them, I am reminded what they symbolize. The verse in Isaiah in particular has one that has been important to me throughout my life and in my call to ministry. And the words are ones that I want to carry with me in all that I do and in each decision that I make. While there are certainly folks out there who get tattoos just to get tattoos, I think for most folks, they choose to get at least maybe their first tattoo because they want to be permanently reminded of something. Olympic athletes will get the Olympic rings tattooed someplace. Folks who are married will sometimes get initials or a wedding date tattooed on their ring finger. Family members or lifelong friends will get matching tattoos as a way to mark that they are connected by more than just the love that is between them. In many ways, tattoos are a visible mark of the ways that we choose to identify. A spouse, a parent, Christian or athlete, book enthusiast, Trekkies, even pet owners will get tattoos to remember who they are and who they love. Sometimes we place them where everyone can see them. Sometimes we place them in a more subtle place. But these are permanent reminders and symbols that help us tell the world who we are or who we might strive to be. For the past several weeks, we have spent time in worship focusing on the covenants and promises in the Hebrew Bible between God and God's people. As we have jumped from book to book, we have heard the different stories of patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith, and we have heard time and time again that God continues to choose to enter into relationship with humanity. Over and over again, God promises to love and guide and provide for those who have been chosen as the people of God. And over again, the people of God find themselves breaking the promises and the covenants that they have entered into. This cycle continues for generations. From time to time, people change their ways and will follow God faithfully. But inevitably, their humanness kicks in, and they forget the covenant, and they decide to live life the way they want to. Today we are in the book of Jeremiah. God has called Jeremiah to be a prophet to God's people. When we talk about prophets with our children, I describe them as people who come so close to God, and God comes so close to them, that the prophet knows exactly what God wants them to say and do. Prophets are messengers who have important things to say. Sometimes their messages are full of hope and affirmation for when the people are doing things right. But more often than not, the messages are ones of reprimand or disappointment, and the prophet delivers a message from God to the people to try and change their hearts and their actions. Being a prophet isn't easy. It's even dangerous. I'm wondering if this is where the phrase, "don't kill the messenger," originated from. Jeremiah was not known as being a prophet who had lots of encouraging and hopeful things to say. As we heard from Justin a little while ago, he is speaking to exiled people. The people of God have been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. The temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed, and the people were forced to leave their homeland. Jeremiah is tasked with explaining to the people of God why these things have happened. And overall, it is not a very uplifting message. We can essentially boil this down to, you have failed to be faithful to God, and you have also failed to be faithful to one another. So in the midst of the people of God having lost everything, having lost their identities, it seems like this is the final straw, and maybe now they will lose their God too. But when we arrive in chapters 30 and 31 of Jeremiah, the tone is different than the rest of the book. Even as we read it now, in the year 2024, we can hear a sense of hope in the words from the prophet. Through Jeremiah, God speaks of restoration for both Israel and Judah. God speaks of a freedom from slavery and exile. God speaks about bringing the people back to their home, to the land that God has given them. God speaks of new life. So in the midst of destruction and loss and uncertainty, in the darkest time in Israel and Judah's history, there is a flicker of light that draws near. Maybe all hope isn't lost quite yet. As we look at our passage for today, we can see and hear a visible and intentional shift in how God is speaking through Jeremiah to God's people. The beginning parts of chapter 30 and 31 are more poetic in nature, and we move from this poetic section, which is filled with promise and hope and emotion, to a section that is more narrative-like. It is more direct and matter-of-fact. There should be no confusion or misinterpretation here about what God is saying to God's people. God declares that there will be a new covenant between God and the people of God. This covenant is intended for the same group of people who have messed up more times than God thought was possible and who have been given more chances than they deserve. But God isn't giving up on them yet. This covenant will be different. Unlike the spoken covenants that their ancestors received or the covenants that were written on stone tablets, this covenant will be written on their hearts. Maybe God is hoping that this time it won't be quite as easy for the covenant to slip away from the hearts and minds of God's people. When Jeremiah tells the people that God will write God's law on their hearts, it has a deeper meaning than we might think, which often happens in Scripture. In ancient Israel, people didn't understand the way the body and the heart and the brain work the way that we do now. People knew that the heart was an important part of the body that helped sustain life. But they also believed that a person's heart was the center of their intellectual and emotional life. The ancient Israelites didn't understand the brain and how it worked. There isn't even a word for brain in Scripture. All of the things that we now understand that take place in our brains, ancient Israelites believed happened in the heart. So this means that all of your choices and your decisions were made from your heart. It was where your emotions and your beliefs combined to determine your true motivations and desires, which are then expressed and lived out through your actions. And so now that we understand how the Israelites understood the heart, this passage has a slightly different meaning because we understand why God said that God would write the law on their hearts. If all of our decisions and beliefs and morals and actions come from our heart, and our heart is inscribed or tattooed or even branded with the law and love of God, then it makes sense that our decisions and beliefs and morals will reflect the law and love of God. We will not only know with our brains that God is our God and we are God's people, we will know this with our hearts as well. The last thing that God names in this new covenant is the hope that all humanity would know God. Again, not just know about God, but know God on such a deep, personal, heart tattoo kind of level that it changes how they would live. This covenant requires not just an external expression of faithfulness to God, it requires an inward transformation in how we approach the world. This is what makes this covenant new. The message that God is giving to the people is the same. I will be your God and you will be my people. But the expectation of how this covenant is carried out is the new part. This covenant does not replace all of the previous covenants that have been broken. It actually helps fulfill them. This covenant in Jeremiah doesn't let us off the hook for the covenants that God made with Noah and Abraham and Moses and Jacob and David. When a new covenant is made, it joins together with all of the other covenants to give us a broader understanding of our relationship with God and God's relationship with us. Even when Jesus is preaching and teaching, he says that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus didn't intend for all of the work God had done before Jesus' ministry to be deemed unworthy and useless. The opposite is true. All of the things that happen in these Old Testament covenants give us a fuller understanding of the long arc that is God's grace and forgiveness and love in the world. With this new covenant, God is providing us with hope for the future, not contempt to the past. Now, Jeremiah spoke these words to the people roughly 2,500 years ago. "Surely the days are coming," says the Lord. I wonder if Jeremiah was to be our guest preacher today, if his message would include stories of people who are living tattooed heart lives, or if he would just repeat this same prophecy as he did all of those years ago to the Israelites who were living in exile. The prophecy does not give a time period of when this covenant would become the regular way of life. There have certainly been people and groups of people over the course of the last 2,500 years who have lived their lives to reflect the law and love of God. But unfortunately, there are a whole lot more of us who seem to have hardened our hearts instead of inscribing them with the love of God. And this latter category, this hardened hearts category, includes Christians way more often than it should. I can imagine that Jeremiah and God are both still saying, "Surely the day is coming when my people will follow my covenant. Surely the day is coming when they will let my law and love guide each and every thought they have and action they take. Surely this day is coming soon," right? In just 2 weeks, we will gather for worship and we will celebrate the risen Christ. We will celebrate that God's love came to earth and conquered fears and doubts and disbelief, and that this love is still alive today. It is never too late for you to prepare your heart to receive the power and love of resurrection. It is never too late for you to get your own tattoo on your heart, or someplace else if you choose, to change and transform your life so that you might enter into this covenant with God and with your neighbors, so that not only will the lives of others change, but your life will be changed as well. If we approach everything in our lives from a place of God-led love, there will be pain and uncomfortableness that comes with it, much like getting a tattoo. It requires us to be so close to God and God to be so close to us that we know exactly what God wants us to say and do. It requires us to be prophets, to be courageous and to share a message from the heart so that the whole world might be changed. I wonder what that kind of world would look like. I wonder if that kind of world is even possible. I have to believe that it is for no other reason than because God believes that this world is possible. God has had plenty of chances to say, "I give up. These people are never going to get it." But instead, the message that we hear over and over again is, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." We know that God isn't going to have a change of heart We know that we will always be God's people and God will always be our God. No matter how many times we ignore our tattooed hearts, what if we decide and try to surprise God anyway? What if we try to surprise the world by actually practicing what we preach? My friends, may we strive to be people who shock the world because we don't just say we love God, we live our love for God also. Let us be people who are in this new covenant and live into it and bring it to life. Let us be brave. Let us be prophets. Let us show our tattooed hearts and not be ashamed or afraid of them. May we be willing to risk something big for something good. May we remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. May we allow God to set our hearts on fire. Amen.